John Fain on radio, online and on digital.
To the newsroom first, though, and Kate Draper has the latest headlines for us. Good morning, Kate.
Good morning, John. Victoria's judiciary has struck out at what it calls a climate of fear over sentencing laws. At a forum in Melbourne last night, senior legal figures criticised the state government's push for tougher sentences. Former Justice and head of the Adult Parole Board, Frank Vincent, said he doubted society was baying for vengeance. The President of the Supreme Court of Appeal, Justice Chris Maxwell, also dismissed claims the judiciary was out of touch and too soft on crime. Syria's President Bashar al-Assad has denied ordering the bloody crackdown that's claimed the lives of some 4,000 of his countrymen. In an interview on American television, he said only a crazy person would kill his own people. He's blamed armed gangs for the violence. And a two-year-old girl has died in hospital after she was struck by a ute at Pakenham last night. Police said the toddler wandered onto Hendy Street into the path of the ute. Melbourne's weather, mostly sunny, a top of 30. At the moment, 22 degrees. More news at 9 o'clock.
774 ABC. Traffic for Melbourne.
Good morning, Cathy, with the latest traffic. The ring road towards Altona is still struggling from Edgars Road to Sydney Road. That's mostly because of a truck breakdown on the Sydney Road on-ramp there. Major merging issues. Greens rebound, Calder on and off up to Pascavel Road slow. The Calder busy, but all moving along now from the Melton Highway. It is slowing, though, from Milliara Road through the Tullamarine Merge. Once you're on the freeway, it slows from Buller Road to the Balti most of the way, at least 40 minutes all up Airport to the Westgate. Easing on the Western Freeway through Rockbank after an earlier crash near Hopkins Road. Crash coming in now for Ringwood at the Ringwood Bypass and Ringwood Street. Princes Freeway heavy from Corroy Creek Road on and off to the Westgate Bridge. Getting reports of a crash now further back near Millers Road. Around 30 in on the Eastern Freeway. Pretty solid from Yarra Boulevard to City Exits. Also queuing onto the Chandler Highway. And the Monash remains slow. Stud Road to Huntingdale Road. One cancellation on the trains. That's the 8:25 from Frankston to the city. Anything else you can text 0437 774 774. That's the latest Melbourne traffic. It's 26 to 9.
You're listening to John Fain on 774 ABC Melbourne and on digital.
Today in the State Parliament, the Baillieu Government will introduce the legislation for the Independent Broad-Based Anti-Corruption Commission, which they promised as part of their election pitch just over a year ago. Something that became a bit of a difficult point for John Brumby, who claimed that Victoria didn't need any stronger anti-corruption protection, and Ted Baillieu successfully arguing clearly that we did. Well, the detail will be unveiled later today in the Parliament, and the Minister responsible, Andrew McIntosh, declined our invitation to join us on the program this morning. But on the same day that that legislation is to be unveiled, the Australian newspaper on its front page splashes: OPI chases allegedly crooked cops at cost of $5 million each. Michael Strong is the former judge who's the outgoing director, the departing director of the Office of Police Integrity. It is rare for him to speak publicly and on the radio, but Michael Strong, good morning to you.
Good morning, John.
First of all, the newspaper reports $5 million each cop, they claim.
Yeah, well, that's a very perverse way to evaluate the work of this organisation over the last 7 years. Chip LeGrand has conveniently ignored statistics that were right in front of him about the number of complaints that OPI has assessed, 3,500 in the last 5 years. 2,500 Victoria Police internal investigation files reviewed, 27 parliamentary reports on a range of issues, more than 250 corruption prevention initiatives and so on. He's presented a very unbalanced and, in my view, perverse evaluation of the work we do. And of course, as I pointed out in my most recent annual report, evidence coercively obtained can't be used in court proceedings against the person who gives that evidence, and without that evidence a successful prosecution is often impossible. But you need to get that evidence to uncover the truth. So there's a lot more to it than Chip LeGrand would have the public believe, and of course this is part of the Australian's continuing campaign against OPI, about which you've spoken in the past, and which has resulted in, among other things, 41 articles by Hedley Thomas, who had never previously written an article about the OPI, and who is the brother-in-law of Paul Whitaker, who, about whom some embarrassing evidence emerged in the OPI investigation of the Operation Neath leak, and on it goes, John. I think a lot of this has been ventilated on your program previously. Chris Mitchell, the editor-in-chief of The Australian, said The Australian would use every journalistic measure against the OPI, and they've been doing just that ever since.
There's an old saying, you don't pick fights with people who buy ink by the barrel.
Yes, well, Simon Overland said that, and look what happened to him. So there we are.
Have you...
It's a sordid business, let me tell you.
Do you then allege... Let's spell it out. What do you allege The Australian is doing?
Running a campaign to discredit this organisation and doing so with sensationalist, unbalanced articles, almost on a daily basis, given far more prominence than they deserve. I could speak at length on this, John, but...
Well, go right ahead.
Why don't we move on to something more interesting?
Well, they call you the watchdog of diminishing returns.
Why am I giving the Australian air? Is there anything else you'd like to ask me about, John?
You're giving the Australian air because you clearly think that there is an injustice here. What matters most, of course, Michael Strong, is neither Michael Strong as a human being or Michael
exactly.
Strong as an aggrieved person, but the citizens and the public interest that Michael Strong is there to protect as the boss of the OPI. That's what matters.
Well, the public are getting a distorted view through the pages of the Australian. Fortunately, very few people read it. It seems mainly to be given away at airports.
They say that, well, I don't want to at the same time bang on about it, but I do think the public need to know, those people who are listening to you now need to know, whether or not they're getting value for money.
Well,
and
there's a simple way they can do that. We have an excellent website. All our annual reports are on the website, and they don't need to wade through the entire report. If they look at the summary that I've written at the front of each report, which contains statistical information, they'll discover what we've been doing over the last 7 years, and I think we've been making a solid contribution to the improvement of the professional and ethical health of Victoria Police, and that's a view, I might say, shared by most Victoria Police senior managers.
Why have you quit?
Well, the government was elected a year ago, and I was informed shortly after the election that there wouldn't be a role for me in the IBAC, the new anti-corruption body. I think the main reason for that was a desire by the government for renewal, which I understand. As you know, John, there was a fair bit of baggage waiting for me when I started in this job, and as I often say, it wasn't Louis Vuitton. I think they were hoping that the new commissioner would have a fresh start, and there's a lot to be said for that. So I was put on notice 12 months ago that there wouldn't be a role for me in the new body. I've been in limbo more or less ever since, and it's time for me to move on, because it's not clear yet when the IVAC will be up and running.
Who told you there'd be no role for you?
The minister, and he did it very courteously.
Which minister?
McIntosh.
Did you try to change his mind?
Not at all, not at all. In fact, I said I understood his decision.
Is it because you were regarded as being too close to the Labor Party when they were in office?
Well, I don't know why anyone would have that perception. I was a judge for 20 years before I began in this job, and no one ever accused me of being too close to the Labor Party.
You had Labor Party connections. I think you were a member of the Labor Lawyers Society at one stage.
I was, yes, I was. Yes, I was a member of the Labor Party long, long ago, John. But I'm not aware that disqualifies one from high office in this state.
No, but were you seen also to be too close to Simon Overland, and the government were keen to put all of that behind them?
Well, there was this perception that I was too close to Simon Overland. I'm not sure why. I mean, I really spoke to him. We had a very professional relationship. We didn't have a social relationship in any shape or form. So, as far as I was concerned, John, I was just doing my job, and he was doing his.
Are you the victim of the slightest procedural error here? Because the high-profile prosecutions of Messrs Ashby and Mullett, respectively, mm-hmm. a top police officer and the boss of the union, mm-hmm. The failure of those proceedings were embarrassing, to say the least, and it was a procedural oversight that led to those proceedings collapsing.
Well, there was a procedural oversight nearly 4 years ago now, an administrative error. Now, how much weight is to be continued to be attached to an administrative error 4 years ago? Seriously, should that play any part in any decision about the IVAC? I mean, it's just silly. In regard to Mr. Munnett, he was prosecuted in good faith. We had, as it transpired, insufficient evidence, and the prosecution failed. That happens every day in our courts. DPP, the police, in good faith prosecute people and the prosecutions are unsuccessful. Now again, how much are we going to continue to hear about that? I noticed that Mr. Mullett and Mr. Ashby are Mr. Legrand's go-to people for comments. I think he would have been better placed to compare OPI's performance with the performance of comparable agencies in other states. And he would find that we do pretty well.
When do you finish?
Well, I've asked to go. I haven't resigned, contrary to media reports. I've asked the minister to replace me. I expect that'll happen in February. And there's no chaos here, John.
Well, this is the thing. Is there a vacuum?
Well, there's a vacuum, but it'll quickly be filled. The government has announced that it will replace me with an acting director. My deputy director, Paul Jeftovic, a very fine man and a very competent man, wasn't assured of a position in the IBAC, and none of my staff have been assured of a position. And he was offered a position in the Australian Crime Commission, a very good position. Why wouldn't he take it? And he's taking it.
Have you seen the legislation that the government are introducing today?
Let me finish on that one, because I really want to scotch this perception of chaos in here. Most of my managers have been working in their roles for years. They're very capable. More than capable of stepping up into any vacuum that's been created.
Okay.
We're a very tight team here.
All right, okay. Have you seen the legislation being introduced today?
No, I haven't.
You've not been consulted about it?
No.
Do you find that astonishing? I do.
I find it disappointing, because I would have thought that after 4 years, nearly 4 years in this job, and with some very competent people here who have been here for almost 7 years, we might have had something to offer, but the government are doing it in their own way, and a really matter for them, isn't it?
And finally, Michael Stronger, our news is also leading with a story about a public sentencing forum last night where Chris Maxwell, the President of the Court of Appeal, Frank Vincent, the head of the Parole Board, and other senior judicial figures slammed the state government over their sentencing survey. In a nutshell, we seem to have some sort of a crisis in confidence between senior figures in the legal community and the current state government.
Well, I don't know whether we do. It's just robust debate, John. It's an important part of our democracy, isn't it?
I'm grateful to you for your time this morning.
Thanks, John.
Michael Strong, the departing director of the Office of Police Integrity, former county court judge. As he's been speaking to me, Chip Legrand, the reporter at the Australian newspaper who was so criticised by Michael Strong, has called in. Chip, good morning to you.
Good morning, John. How are you?